Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
Jack and I are here at the Faith and Freedom Salt Lake Conference in Marion, North Carolina. And God is just putting all kinds of interesting people, Christian yes. people, in front of us. And we've got a bookend in here pretty good, I think, so we have Eric Hollyfield here. And a while back, I had open heart surgery, but they didn't have to do CPR on me. So he's going to tell you what CPR really means in this conversation. So, Eric, thanks for being with us today. And we'll start with Jack. I'll lead off with some questions and go from there.
Sounds good. Great. Well, welcome, Eric. We are pleased, one, to meet you, and two, to have the privilege to sit down and interview you for our podcast. So, as we always do, we always ask all of our guests, marveling at God's grace and how he reaches out to everyone, how was it that you came to Christ?
So I was very fortunate as a young man, grew up here in McDowell County and just a few miles from our home church. And have great parents that we still all attend the same church, and my parents and I. And the way I grew up, it wasn't if we're going. It was just
you were drugged.
Well, yes, I was, and but I'm very grateful for that heritage. And so the Lord had dealt with me for some time and for months, and I'm grateful of his patience and his mercy that he shows people that are not his children yet, and how he continues to deal with it. And I was 11 years old, and I don't know how long I was under conviction, but it was awful. But I appreciate the conviction, because you can't get saved until you get lost.
That's right.
And I knew that it was. So we were having revival, and it was in April, and it was scheduled Sunday night, Thursday night, and I'd made it all the way through.
I was almost there.
And it was Thursday night, and it was the worst time of the service, the altar call. And I was trembling, and I was crying, and my mom was standing beside me, and we were about three or four pews back from the front. And she literally just hit me with her elbow, not hard, but bumped me, nudged me with her elbow. And she said, "Why don't you just go?" And what seemed to be the hardest thing to do actually turned out to be the easiest thing I've ever done. And I can't thank the Lord enough for what he's, I'll get tore up if I continue, but I can't thank him enough for what he's done in my life. And the family he's blessed me with, and a great Christian wife, she's a great mother to
Amen.
Our children. And, you know, most of the time our children are good too. We've got good boys. He's blessed us, and God's just been good to us.
Mm. So how did you get on this path? And let's go back to your school. Did you, first of all, when you graduated high school, did you go to college? And if you went to college, which one did you go to? And what was your major?
So I graduated high school here in McDowell, and my dad was actually working part-time at the local community college.
Wow.
And He's a tradesman and a tool and die maker, and 50 years experience in that. And he's really good. I'd like to know a third of what he's forgot. I didn't go off to university. He talked me into just starting classes at McDowell Tech here. And his first semester, he said, "I'll buy your books and pay your tuition if you'll just go and just try it." And I thought, well, I don't know nothing to lose. Just try it. Right. And so I started and I thought, well, it's kind of interesting. And I stuck with it and I just went part time in the evenings when I wasn't working. And took a few years, but eventually just got an associate's degree in machining and just went to work and manufacturing. And several years later, this was about 2009, one of the members of management come out to the shop floor where I was working at, and I'll never, he's a good Christian man, and he said, "Eric, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm running this machine." He said, "No, I mean, what are you doing?" "So I'm making this part." And he said, "It's not what I'm asking you, what are you doing?" And I said, "Jim, I don't know what you're asking me." And he said, "If you're here for 10 years, what are you going to be doing?" And,
good question.
Yeah. And I said, "Well, probably running this machine." And he said, "Why?" And so he began to put the pressure on, and I appreciate that because it's sometimes that's what it takes. And so I went on and got a degree in engineering through Western Carolina, through their distance learning program, and did that in the evenings. It took a long time at this point. I got family, you know, and so you work on it when you can. School is literally the last priority. Everything else came first. And so it took us a while, but we eventually got that degree. And that's Lord's, you know, allowed that to happen and helped us to get through that. And that's opened up some doors for us.
Well, amen. Now, you're here, one, because you love God. Two, you love country. But three, you are involved in an organization. Would you tell us the name of the organization and how in the world did this come about?
So it's called Christian Perspective.
Wait a minute, you're supposed to say CPR first.
Yeah,
okay.
CPR for short. That's what the folks here that are aware of us and the people in the organization, that's what we just refer to as CPR. And that's what it stands for, is Christian Perspective Representatives. And basically, we want the Christian perspective represented on a local level in meetings, especially school board meetings. And the church needs to be involved.
Amen.
And, a really simple way to explain what we do. We all know as kids, and kids these days actually have phones and didn't do this. But when I was a kid, there was no such thing as cell phones. Right. And so what we would do is we would get two cups and a string. Right. And then you could talk to one another in different locations in your home and not be attached to the wall. Right. And so that's what we want to do with the local church. And then what's happening in our communities. The church needs to know. Right. And then when there's issues, we want to make a way for the church to communicate back to the appropriate people. So basically, we want to be that string. And that's what we got started doing. We attend school board meetings. We attend county commissioner meetings.
God bless you. I mean that ball.
And what we want to do is develop a partnership, really, with them. And that almost sounds cliche these days. But fortunately for us and where we're located, we know Western North Carolina. We're in the buckle belt or the buckle of the Bible Belt of our country, right? And it's been said there's churches on every corner. And so how can we pull them together? How can we work together? How can we work as one? We're called as a body and not different bodies, but as a body. So how can we do that? And if we can get that established, if we can get people to come together on standing for what's right, and at times standing for what's wrong, standing against what's wrong, and work together and go at this together, it will make an impact. We've seen it. It will make a difference.
Well, as we look at that perspective, which is very important, because you're emphasizing local. So many of us, and I'm guilty of this as well, I keep thinking of just national. But local is so important. We're not going to accomplish much sure you agree if we don't win at the local level.
That's exactly right. So engineer by trade, what I've learned.
What kind of engineer?
So I had a stint in process engineering.
Okay.
And then heavily into quality. So mostly okay. quality engineering.
Well, you know, you're sitting next to an architect. So I mean,
we could approve some drawings
yeah,
together
okay.
and audit those. And but you're right. Locally, I believe that's where we need to focus. And that's where our churches are. And looking at it from the standpoint of what I've learned in my career, I've worked on different projects. Projects have been implemented. I've always found one key component every time.
Wow.
There's one key component that if you can implement it, and it's not always easy or fun, but if you can implement it, things will get better. And it's simply communication. And so now that's the first thing I'll look for when looking at a project. Been able to save companies money by just literally getting people to talk, getting different departments to talk. Making sure before this person goes to work, he knows what happened yesterday and what went wrong.
Yeah.
If you don't know, you're going to repeat those issues. Mm-hmm. So taking it from that manufacturing standpoint, how do we apply that locally? We got to get people to talk. And that's where the stream comes in between those two cups.
Now, didn't y'all just have a conference recently?
We did. Last month, we had our first one conference. So we wanted to apply that same mindset to Christian organizations. So we started out with churches, getting churches to talk, work together, bonding together. So if we can do it with churches, why can't we do it with Christian organizations?
Yeah.
And so it's literally that same concept. We'll be the string, and we will pull you together. So last month, we had our first annual one conference here in McDowell. It went really well. It was amazing. We had 15 different organizations come out, and we had 10 different speakers, and they got to share their work and share their burdens. Tears were shed. People were impacted, and we've received a lot of feedback, positive feedback. We're already planning next year. Next year it'll be in Caldwell County, and so we're already planning that. We're one of our county coordinators in Caldwell. He's going to go look at a venue Monday and get some pictures. And so we're already excited about next year and what's going to take place there. But what we want to do is each time CPR grows and goes into a new county, we want to have a one conference to follow and to go in that county. And what we've learned since starting CPR is there's so many fantastic organizations that are on a local level. And a lot of people are not aware of them. Even in the county that they live in, people are just not aware. So with this conference, we want to do two things. We want to make people aware, people in the county. We want to get the churches to come out and provide the church members with all this opportunity that's there. Because there's tons of it. There's tons of ways for a Christian to be involved. But we also want to introduce these groups together. And let's see how we can work together. How can my group help your group? We may know something or something that we've learned. And this, again, it comes from the manufacturing processes, right? I mean, that's where this stuff comes from. So it's not really that hard to implement except for getting the participation.
If somebody wants to connect with you, I mean, you don't have like a membership.
We don't.
But if they want to receive emails, how do they do that?
So we encourage people to visit our website. And it's easy to remember. It's just CPR, those letters, CPRforyourcounty.org. So it's literally CPRFOR, for, and then yoururcounty.org. And you can go to our website. You can submit a request to join our newsletter. We try to send a newsletter out at least quarterly. Sometimes we'll do it more frequently, depending on what's going on in an area. We have some other information that you may find useful there as well. That's the best way to reach out and get a hold of us.
We also have a special guest. He just stuck his head in the door here.
Come around here, Paul.
So this is the Salt and Light Ambassador.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you.
Tell them who you are, Paul.
Dr. Paul, Faith and Freedom Coalition, just a little guy running around here trying to make things happen. Trying to make things come together and work. I got a question for you guys. I need to ask you.
Sure.
Oh, we're live. We're recording, so ask the question.
Neil Jarrell?
Oh, anytime. Bring
them up. Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. Yes, okay, yes.
So, I mean, your time's about up.
Okay. That's okay. So, yeah, reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook, Christian Perspective. Search for Christian Perspective on Facebook. You'll see CPR as the logo, or go to our website, like we mentioned earlier.
Good.
What a blessing to have you here. Yeah. And I'll post that information on our video.
Thank you. Thank you.
Blessings to you and your ministry in the future.
Thank you. We appreciate the invitation. So here's my prayer for how God takes this and where he takes me in this organization is literally, this hasn't let me down yet. So I'll pray for a door to open. Or don't open at all. Yeah. Because I'm not smart enough to know the difference if it's halfway open. Mm. So, Lord, you open the door, we'll go through it. And if we're not supposed to go through it, Lord, you don't ever let it open.
Amen.
And so maybe that'll help somebody, but it's never let me down for many years. So thank y'all so much.
Thanks, we appreciate it. Appreciate it.
We do. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Acts 8:20 says, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Acts 16:31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool. If you would like
further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.